every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb, God. And today we worship you, we bow before you, and we give you all the glory and the praise, Lord. You are awesome. Thank you, God, that we have the opportunity to lift our voices to you and worship you together as a group, as a church. Thank you, God. You are holy. You are awesome. May your name be praised today, God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Guys.
Is this on? Can you hear me? Yeah, here we go. Okay. Welcome, 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 welcome. Am I ever glad that you guys are all here, because it'd be pretty sad if I was the only guy here trying to worship God. But it's good to be in the presence of other believers, people that want to lift up the name of Jesus. And first and foremost, that's what we want to do here, is lift up and glorify the name of Jesus. It's because of him that we have life and joy and hope and peace and salvation and forgiveness and healing. And it's all, we want to give him all the credit and all the glory. Yes, it's Mother's Day, but I just wanted to emphasize that first and foremost, we want to lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. That's most important. And you know what? Just hang on here. My Bible isn't working here. Okay. So yesterday we were driving down the highway, and the thought came that, you know, you got those lines on the side of the highway guiding you and keeping you out of the ditch. And the thought came that that's kind of what the Bible does for us. It just, so I encourage you, get into it and read it every day, and it'll help us to stay out of the ditch. Sometimes we drive in the ditch anyways, even though we know we shouldn't, we drive in the ditch anyways. But let's I just want to encourage you in this. Listen to this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You know, when we pick up the Word of God, and we were reading it and even meditating on it and praying through it, it's like we're kind of sitting on the couch with Jesus. You know, we're just kind of snuggle up to him, and we're just kind of hanging out with him. He is the Word. So it's, yeah, you grab the Bible, but you're grabbing Jesus. And That's what I want to impress upon all of us, is to find a way to get into the Word every day and just hang out with our Savior. So today is Mother's Day, and I'm really grateful that I had a mother. I had a good mama, and I'm thankful for that. And again, the credit goes to God, because it's not like this is something that I orchestrated, but God has blessed us with mothers. And I just want to encourage you to give thanks to God for that. That give thanks to God for the mother that you have, and or maybe that you had. Maybe she's not here with you anymore. But pray for her today. Pray for her and ask God to bless your mother. If you need to, then this would be a good day to forgive her. It's Mother's Day. But let's just bless your mother. Bless her and honor her. And she has blessed you. She has been good to you. Just bless her and give thanks to God for the mother that you have today. Sonny is in the hospital, and let's keep him in our prayers. He's struggling. He's trusting that this is going to be a Job experience for him, where he's been down in the dumps and beat up physically with his health, but he's trusting God to bring him through that. So let's rally with Sonny and pray for him that he would be made well and complete. And that's all I got, Stan. Yeah. Maybe someday you'll get a good moderator. Sorry. But let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for Stan. Thank you for this church. God, thank you for coming and meeting with us here. And Lord, speak through Stan. May Stan glorify you and lift up your name and bring you honor and glory. And God, may your spirit, as you speak through Stan, may your spirit meet with each one of us, God, and draw us closer to you, that our relationship with you, God, would be enriched and deepened here because of what goes on here and what's being said and what is being heard. God, speak to us that we would hear from you and use your servant. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
And I can't tell you how much fun that was just to sing with those three children and let our children lead us in worship. Wow. And boy, what singers they are. Amazing, right? Just worshiping God. I'm sure we're going to hear more of them. That was an honor. It was good to be able to do that. And it's just good to be here today. I'm glad you're here. God calls us to be in this place, and it's true. We're here to honor him. We're also here to be thankful for our moms and to honor them as well. One of the things I'm really thankful for is how many wonderful mothers are here in this church. And we have a lot of good examples of good mothering. And there's actually a lot of people here who don't have children who are really good mothers too. And they are helping to mother a lot of the children. It's kind of like in the Old Testament. Some women were called the mothers of Israel. And they just sort of had that whole big role of, it wasn't just that they had two or three kids of their own, but they mothered, you know, they mothered the children. They mothered the children. We have that. We have that right now. Some of them are teaching in Sunday school. Some of them are in nursery, and some of you are just sitting here. You don't necessarily have to have born a child to be a mother in the family of God, because we mother. We do this together. We do this as a community. And I have just utmost respect for moms, for the strength that you have, and it's not easy. I know a lot of you have gone through some really hard things. A lot of times, guys in your life have let you down, bailed on you. I really want to encourage you today with God's word. I think that many of you, you know, show such resiliency and such strength, and you show such of the qualities of Jesus, you know, the gentleness, the kindness, the wanting to teaching your children, wanting to raise your children up so that they come to know who Jesus is. We just honor you today. I don't really even know how to do that properly, but just to say it, I guess words don't seem to work all the time. And I think guys are sometimes, we're not good at this. Maybe I'm not good at this. It's funny because this is really a true story. A couple weeks ago, I was in a hospital visiting Sonny and Dave and a couple people, and as I was walking through the hallway, I ran into somebody who was sitting there that I knew, who comes here once in a while, not very often, and he was sick, and I won't say who he was, but, you know, you might not know him anyways. But, you know, I just say, how you doing, and can I pray for you? And well, he had passed a kidney stone, and he, you know, he'd been struggling a lot. And you know, he literally said this. He said, well, I passed a kidney stone last night. And he says, I got to tell you, he said, that was worse than having a baby. Don't you hate it when guys make that claim? Like they, oh, yeah, yeah. And I said to him, oh, probably shouldn't have said anything, but I said, so, like, how big was the kidney stone? He said, well, it was like a small marble, like it was like the size of a pea. I said, I got to tell you something. When my first son was born, I was there, and his head was about this big. so So maybe, guys, we could start honoring mothers by not using that analogy that we know nothing about. You know, the closest you can come is being in the room there. Man, I just have a lot of respect, and I honor the wives and the women and the moms who are here. We also know that what comes with motherhood is often pain. And I'm going to talk about that a bit today. What comes with motherhood is hurt and disappointment. Our kids don't always do the things that we want them to do. They don't always live up to the dreams that we have for them. Sometimes they cause us grief. Sometimes they leave us. Sometimes some of us have been in a situation where we couldn't take care of our kids. And I know it's painful. This can be a really painful day for some of you. And I understand that, and I really don't want to add to the pain. But I do want to say, kind of as a preface to the message today, and I'm not sure how far God's going to move me along in this, but there may be some things that I say today that it could be offensive. So I'm not trying to be offensive, all right? If I do offend, I hope I offend everybody equally. there's just some things that God's laid on my heart, and these are not necessarily clear, 100% biblical proofs. A couple of the observations I want to make at the end of the message just come from my heart and come from what I believe to be true. And so if worse comes to worse and you think that's totally crazy and that I'm a lunatic and I've lost my mind, that's okay. Like, don't be offended. Just walk away and say, well, I don't agree with that. I don't happen to share that same opinion. I really don't want to offend you. But on the other hand, I believe that God's saying, hey, sometimes these things need to be said, if for no other reason than that you think about some stuff. I think that sometimes we get into a situation where we aren't thinking. We're just living. We just keep doing the same thing that everyone else is doing. And maybe that's not God's way. Maybe it's important that we think about some of the things that we just assume everyone thinks is true. Okay, I'll let you wait till we get to that point. See, when you do that, no one leaves. So that's a good part. There's actually nothing coming. It's one way to get you to stay. Story today. The story that I'm impressed with is a story about Moses' mother. We're going to read that today. In Exodus chapter 1, what a story about a mom who showed such traits of trusting God and who loved her son and who was in a terrible predicament where she knew that she was going to lose him one way or the other. So we're going to read the story, and listen to God's word in Exodus chapter 1. We're going to start reading verse 15. Exodus 1, verse 15. And this is the time when the Israelites were in Egypt, and they were under the oppression of the Egyptians. They were in slavery, and things had gotten a lot worse. They'd been 400 years they'd spent in slavery under the thumb of Pharaoh, and they were treated terribly. And they had gotten to the point where, because they kept growing, God kept blessing the Israelites, that Pharaoh and the leaders of Egypt said, we got to stop this. If we keep letting them grow, they're going to be bigger than us. They're going to become stronger than us. So we got to find a way to cull the herd. We got to find a way to, you know, get rid of some. They can't keep growing like this, okay? And this is what happened. So we read in Exodus 1, verse 15, that the king of Egypt, or Pharaoh, said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shiphrah and Puah, when you help the Hebrew women in childbirth and observe them on the delivery stool, if it's a boy, kill him. But if it's a girl, let her live. The midwives, however, feared God, and they did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live, and then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live? The midwives answered Pharaoh, Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous, and they give birth before the midwives even arrive. So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Every boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. Now, a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, that word means special. There was something about him that was special. She hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. And then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds, among the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds, and she sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. And Pharaoh said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." And so the woman took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Amen? Just got to look at one note here. One of the things you should note, just from the very beginning here, is that Pharaoh's plans were thwarted completely and entirely by women. There isn't one guy in this plot. There's all kinds of women that are part of this plot, right? Every single one of them is a woman. They're the midwives. They're part of this story. There are the Hebrew women, the whole general Hebrew women who they were told were just so strong that they're having babies, we can't even get there quick enough. So the Hebrew women are part of this picture. There's Moses' actual mother, who shows amazing strength in this. We'll get to that. There's Moses' sister, who we know to be Miriam, who ends up rescuing her little brother by talking to another woman who was Pharaoh's daughter. And Pharaoh's daughter actually has some attendants there, which we know would have been women because she was bathing. And I'm sure those attendants actually even played a role in this, as they all oohed and awed over this beautiful little baby boy, Moses. I think it's kind of cool that big, strong, powerful Pharaoh doesn't get his way. Why? Because women get their way. Yeah, right. Point number one, women get their way. No. But it's told this way. The writer tells the story this way so that we get it, so that we understand that. There are no men in this picture. The men in this picture just want death. They just want the little babies to die. They're motivated by fear. But the women are motivated by a nurture and love and teaching, and they're mothers. Don't you sense that? Just such a motherly story that's happening here. Just holding this little baby in his arms, and it just kind of blows me away. When I think about this story, it really moves me to tears sometimes, when I think about how hard this must have been for Moses' mother. Does anyone know what Moses' mother's name was? What? Jochebed. Very good. Very close. Most people don't know that, though. Most people don't know Moses' mother's name. We know her as Moses' mother. All throughout the scriptures, particularly in the early part of this story, she's referred to over and over again, not by her actual name, but by what she does. She's famous because she's Moses' mother, not because she's Jochebed. She's Moses' mother. And I want you just to imagine with me as we start here today, imagine how hard that must have been. She loved little Moses. She loved this son, right? He's just a few months old. He's 3 months old. And he's crying. You know what it's like when you got a three-month-old? They're starting to roll over, and they're starting to move more, and they make more noise. The older they get, they make louder noise. And I've just been kind of imagining this week about how hard that must have been for her to come to that point, to come to that realization that, you know what, I'm going to have to do something here, otherwise they're going to come with a sword to my little hut. I got to do something. I don't know what to do. And I wondered about how many times Moses' mother, you know, planned this little adventure, this little push Moses out in a papyrus basket thing. You know, like, this is the best plan she could come up with. Wow. And how hard was that? You mothers must imagine, right? I mean, fathers too, I can imagine. Well, I guess anyone can imagine. How hard would that be to put a little baby in a little basket in the Nile River, which, by the way, was famous for its crocodiles, and just to go, okay, well, here goes. Good luck. You wonder how much she prayed about this. I wonder how much. She must have been praying all the time. And I wondered about, you know, that moment of decision when she and Miriam are sitting by the shore of the Nile and they're ready to push the little basket out. I wonder how many times she stopped it from happening. She just wait a minute. I want to top him up a minute, right? And she would top him up and put him back in the basket, and then they'd be ready to just throw him out again. And I mean, how hard must that have been? How that must have broken her heart? How that must have ripped her heart in two? Because the prospects for little Moses really didn't look very good when you take a 3-month-old baby who can roll back and forth, and you put him in this tiny little basket, and you put him in the Nile, which is a fairly swift-moving stream or river, and you go, okay, that's the best I can do. But what's amazing is that this story really is about the redemption of God. And that God hears prayers, and that God answers us when we call to him, whether we're mothers or fathers, or it doesn't matter who we are, when we're in despair, when we're in trouble, and we say, God, help me here. He is there to help us. Many of us know that that's true, right? You know that's true. This is a story about redemption. It's redemption. That's just a word that means that God saves. Man, if there's one thing about God that's true, is he saves. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. It doesn't matter how you've stumbled or fallen. God saves. He wants to deliver you. He wants to bring you back out of the river, you know, into a place where you can be safe again. He saves Moses. You say, praise God? Okay, thank you, Doug. Come on, guys. He saved Moses. Praise God? Yeah, praise the Lord. You know what happens in this story is that the daughter of Pharaoh sees the little basket coming down, and she sees that it's one of the Israeli children, and she starts to hold him, and right away she's got this attachment. Moses is saved by God. That's one of the things. You just got to make that statement and go, amen. God saves. He's a God who redeems. He's a God who saves. Not only that, but he restores Moses back to his mother, at least for a period of a few years. We don't know how long. Probably 3 or 5 years. She fed him. She took care of him. You know, she had precious years with her son because God redeems. And probably the Israelis or the Hebrews would have been snickering because she was actually, I don't know if you read this with me or you heard this, she was actually getting paid for this. Right? The Hebrew women would have been going, wow. Yeah. So she gets her baby back, and now they're going to pay her to breastfeed her own child, right? God's got a sense of humor. Yeah. And then the third thing, though, is that really this happens for the redemption of his people. There's a much bigger plan. And it isn't, and this is sometimes the hard part from us. We only see our plan. We only see our own little family. We only see our own children. We only see our own life. But God's got such a bigger plan sometimes. And we don't understand what's going on. We don't know why God seems to do some of the things that we think he's doing. We don't see that he's got a major plan of salvation sometimes, which, of course, he does with his own son. We'll get to some of that, too. But, you know, he saves Moses, get this, so that Moses can be the one who delivers his people. Moses delivers his people. He saves them. He delivers them out of slavery. He brings them to the Red Sea. Through the leadership of Moses, they walk through the Red Sea, and they go into the desert and then to the Promised Land because God is a Savior. He redeems his people. And God had a plan all along. You see it? All along, God had a plan. The word for the papyrus little boat that Jochebed made is actually the same word for ark, like Noah's ark. It's all about salvation. It's all about how God is going to, he's going to bring us and save us, and he's going to deliver us, and we're no longer needing to be enslaved. And that's still, by the way, a biblical principle today. You don't need to be enslaved. That what God is all about is he's about freedom. And he wants to set you free. Whatever that is that you need to be set free from, he wants to set you free. It can be your thoughts. It can be something you're taking. It can be free from bitterness or unforgiveness. It can be free from fear. It can be free from your past, some of the bad decisions that you've made. Anyone here made a bad decision somewhere in the past? Okay, awesome. not awesome, but it's at least we all are on the same page, right? We can all agree that's something we share in common, and that the good news, really what the gospel is about, is that we no longer need to be a slave to fear, and that there's freedom. Amen? There is freedom. And the amazing thing in the thing that I'm amazed about when it comes to Jochebed is that she trusted God. And here's really the message today. I'm going to give you it ahead of time and then explain it a little bit. Really, it's a message of just trusting in God. It's not easy to do that. Sometimes we believe in God, but we don't really trust in Him. We believe there is a God. That's one thing. But it's another thing to go, okay, God, you know, catch me. Right? I really trust you, God. I trust that even in my circumstance, even in the struggles and in the brokenness and in the really hard things I'm going through, I trust, God, that I'm going to come out of this on the other end, and I'm not going to drown in the Nile, that you got me in your hand, that you're going to protect me, you're going to watch over me, and that it's going to be so much better because you are my God. Right, Dean? I know you know that. I know you know that. And this is really a familiar story in Scripture, especially when it comes to women, that really, truly godly women demonstrate an unusual trust in God. And again, like I said earlier, I'm really blessed, we are, that in this church we have a number of women like that too, that you just trust. We see it every time. It's unusual. It's special. We should honor this because this is an unusual trust in God. It's saying to God, okay, God, have your way with me. Do what you want to do. Have your way in my life. Amen? Lots of examples. I'll just give you a couple. One example would be Sarah. Abraham and Sarah, you remember that story in the Old Testament? And you see the picture of Abraham taking his son Isaac up the mountain, and God says, you know, I'm going to test you. I want you to sacrifice your son. This was their only son. Well, let's make no mistake about this. I'm absolutely sure that Sarah knew this was coming because Abraham wasn't a fool. He wasn't going to come down the mountain by himself. He was asking Sarah to pray. He was telling her, this is what God told me to do. And, I mean, we don't have biblical evidence for that, but I'm pretty sure this is what happened. And that as Sarah watched Abraham and his son go up the mountain, she prayed and she trusted and she let go. She let go. Or how about Hannah? Hannah is a great example, too, of a godly woman who really trusted. And I can't give you all the story. I don't have time today. But she couldn't have a baby, and she made a vow with God. She said, God, if you'll just help me to have a son, I'll give him back to you when he's a year old. Remember this story, anyone? And so in Hannah's situation, when her son Samuel, who became one of the greatest judges and prophets of Israel, when he was a year old, Hannah had to hand him over to a very corrupt priesthood, Eli and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Can you imagine? I mean, to me, that's the same story as Moses' mother handing this little baby and saying, okay, God, I trust you. I trust you that my son is going to be in good hands. That's hard to do. There's lots of other examples, but just one more, probably the best example in all of Scripture, and it's a New Testament example, is the example of Jesus' own mother, Mary. Talk about trust. She trusted the angel. She trusted the messengers. She trusted that her son was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And even from a very young age, she knew, even from birth, that in some way this son didn't even belong to her completely. He belonged to everybody. He belonged fathered by the Holy Spirit, and she had to trust. Don't you think that's true? She had to trust that God knew what he was doing. On the eighth day, when Jesus was in the temple, an old man named Simeon came to Mary, and he said, Mary, this child, Jesus, your son, he's going to cause the rising and falling of many in Israel. And a sword, this is what he says, as a warning, and a sword will even pierce your heart too. And to me, that's what it is to be a mother sometimes. You know, those are examples that they trusted God. They said, okay, God, I don't know what I can do here. My son's going to be killed if I don't put him in this little papyrus raft. Or Mary saying, okay, God, I don't know how to preserve or save my son's life. I'm going to follow him around. I'm going to watch him minister. But in many ways, I can't hold on to him anymore. I'm going to turn him over to you. This Jesus doesn't just belong to me. He belongs to the world. And that was true for Moses. That was true for Samuel. It was true for Isaac. And what I'm trying to get at here, I know you guys are all wondering when's the good part coming. What we're trying to get at here is that here's the hard part of mothering, but it's absolutely the essential part of mothering, is that really godly mothers who trust in God learn that they need to let go. We need to let go of our children. And some of you, I know you're doing this, you're nodding your heads, but it's not an easy thing to do, is it? It's not an easy thing to do to let go. I mean, I have a son who's 30 years old. I have a hard time letting go of him, and he's 30. Where's my drink? Here. You know, there's things I want him to do differently. I'm not even a mother. But part of being a good mom is that you let go of your children. Most of us, it means that we do it when the kids are like around 18 years old and they have been taught a whole lot of things and they're in a place where it's okay to let them go, hopefully. They may make some mistakes. But ultimately, good parents, you know, we want to let go of our children. Sometimes we've got to do that little by little over a period of time until they reach a point where they can make that stand on their own. But sometimes we've had to let go of our children earlier than we wanted to. And you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes our kids don't make it till 18. And okay, here, I'll back up a bit. Just on Tuesday, I had to sit in a dentist chair. And maybe you're good at doing that. I'm not. And he took out one of these things and he said, open your mouth. And he's just going to touch your tooth. He said, oh, okay, fine. He touched my tooth and I just went, bam! Like it was this nitrogen or whatever it's called, right? I said, what did you do that for? He said, I just wanted to see if your tooth was alive. I didn't say this, but I thought it. I just want to see if your nose still bleeds. You know, don't be touching my tooth with that thing. It's alive, okay? Let's just treat it like it's alive. So what I'm saying right now is sometimes we got to, you know, I might be touching a sensitive tooth. So bear with me. Because here's what I'm trying to get at is that sometimes some of you have had to let go of your children way before you really wanted to. Maybe you have a child that you gave up for adoption. Or a child that has been raised by other family members, your mom or an aunt. Or maybe you had a child a long time ago. Maybe the father of that child is raising, or part of the family of that father is raising that child. And you've had to give that child up, maybe for really good reasons, because there was no other options. Some of you likely have had abortions too. And in some ways, what that really is you let go of something. Something that at the time you felt you needed to let go of. And maybe there's been a lot of regret over that. We let go sometimes. We need to. Sometimes we beat ourselves up for those decisions that we've made. And maybe you made that decision decades ago. And you need to hear this very clearly today, that God knows exactly what's going on, and you can trust him. We've all made foolish decisions that we regret, but it is not God's will or his desire that any of us continue to live in shame and regret, or we live with that, oh, if only thing. God says, I don't want you living like that. I have sent my son, Jesus, so that you wouldn't need to live with that regret. You can forget about that. Literally, you can forget about whatever it was that happened because I died for that reason. I paid for that. So you got to stop paying for it. You don't need to pay for it anymore. I've paid for it. And when you keep beating yourself up or you keep living in shame and rejection, what you're really saying is that Jesus' sacrifice wasn't sufficient. Amen? That's true. So being a mom, means sometimes we need to let go. We always, no matter what, you're always somewhere along the line going to have to let go of your children. Sometimes we've let go of our children earlier than we wish we would have. But still it comes down to one very important thing, and that is that we put our trust in God. We got to just trust God. Trust Him that He's got this in control. You may have a child somewhere, you don't even know where that child is. And in some ways today, you just got to stand up before God and say, God, I don't know. And I just got to trust you. I believe that you're going to take care of that little boy or that little girl just like you did for Hannah and like you did for Moses' mom and you did for Mary. I'm going to trust you, regardless of the decision I made or why I made that. Can we agree on that? And now let me tell you another thing. There's an important word in the Old Testament. It's the word offspring. And we hear that over and over again in the Old Testament where Moses was the offspring of his mom, Jochebed, that Adam and Eve had offspring. The offspring were Cain and Abel. In Genesis chapter 13, God makes a promise to Abraham, and he says, your offspring will be more than, you know, than all the sand that you can see on the shore. There's that word offspring. But that literally, and this is really important, the word offspring means seed, and it probably should be translated as seed. And I think it's a way better word. Your seed, in other words, your children are like a seed. And because they're a seed, they don't die. Seeds don't die. There's something about that I think is really important. There's actually in 2012, National Geographic had a story about a seed that was found embedded in ice, apparently 32,000 years ago, that someone decided or some scientists found a way to take that seed that had been dead for 32,000 years and made the flower. It was a flower that grew in Russia. Somehow that flower, which had been extinct, had been revived again, because that's what a seed does. Now, I like that. I think that when we're told in the Old Testament that your seed, that your seed is going to be passed on, and that when you have a child, you're going to it's called a seed. I think that speaks of the eternal value of our children, whether we're able to raise them or someone else raises them. You have a seed, and that seed is something that you need to let go of. Seed doesn't do you any good. I got a little pack of crystal seeds because she loves her gardens. And, you know, it's great to have a little bit of seed here. This is going to be apparently some morning glories, which I have no idea what they look like except for the picture. But you know what? If you don't open the seed, if you don't let it go, if you just hang on to this package, it's never going to be a flower. And that probably explains better what I'm trying to say than what I've been able to, how I've been able to describe it. Your children, whatever children you have or have had, are seeds, and you need to sow them in some ways. You need to let them go. You need to ultimately trust God. That's true for, you know, your children that you're raising right now, and it's true for my older sons who are now grown up and adults. I need to let them go. That does not mean that I don't love them or I don't pray for them, or I don't hold them really tightly in my heart. So that's okay, moms, if you're still doing that, that's all right. Hold on to your kids. Hold on to them tightly. While you've got them home, set boundaries and parameters. Teach them the way to live. But there's a time coming, no matter who you are, there's a time coming when you got to sow the seed. If you don't sow, they'll never grow, right? And it's just a word for some of you guys today. You don't know what that means. What that means, I don't mean that you don't care for them anymore, or you don't love them anymore. Of course, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, it's back to that trusting God thing, right? You just got to trust God. Trust God for the children you're raising right now. Trust God for the children who are in your past. Just trust God. And here's where I'm going to move now into another tooth. And again, you might not, I need some water here. I don't know if you guys are nervous as I am. No, that's going to do it. Otherwise, I'll be here all day. Okay, how am I going to approach this? Again, you know, I'm only saying this because I really believe that, and again, you may not agree with this, but I believe that one day when we go to heaven, when Jesus returns, there's going to be a huge reunion. You all know that. We all agree with that. But I think there's going to be a reunion not only with the people that I knew here, but maybe, again, this is one of those maybe things. You can agree with this or not. Maybe the reunion is going to be way bigger than you can even imagine. And maybe there's way more children that you have than you even know. Let me explain that. Yeah. When 200 eggs are fertilized, or when there are 200 eggs, let me just put it this way. You know, not all of our children, if you had every egg that was fertilized in you, you'd have a lot more children, that's what I'm trying to say. Of 200 eggs, 168 get fertilized, 138 survive of the 200, 138 survive after 2 weeks, 84 survive after 4 weeks, and 62 out of the 200, 62 actually are born. So the point is this, no matter who we are, like about, pardon me? No, in people. Well, not chickens, we're talking about people here, okay? Women have eggs that are fertilized, so we still call them eggs, okay? So the point I'm trying to make is, there are a lot of spontaneous. There are spontaneous abortions that happen sometimes. In fact, about 70% of the babies that you would have will be aborted. That means for me, I've had 5 children. I probably have had, or my wife has had, at least 3 times that many. And you may not think that just because an egg is fertilized that it's a life, but I do. So I think it's a life. And so what I'm trying to say in kind of my roundabout way, and I'm saying I think there's a lot more out there than what we know about. I think that we might find that there's children we don't even know that are ours. And, you know, there's going to be an amazing reunion sometime. This is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. This is a good thing. That out of our control sometimes, out of our control, there are children that we never even knew. Sometimes you don't even know you're pregnant. You don't know. A lot of times before the 4th week, that baby spontaneously aborts. But I believe that's still a life. I believe, so I mean, not everyone believes that. Some people think, well, life begins at 3 months or at 6 months, but I have a hard time reconciling that. And you know that I don't get into this a lot, and I hope that no one's offended when they leave here. I'm not trying to offend you. You're not offended? Good. Okay, good. You make me feel better. And I also know that I'm kind of stumbling here because this is a tough subject, but I'm bringing it up, and I don't care really if I'm not very eloquent today. I just want to think about this idea. That there's a day coming when I may have 20 sons and not just 5. That there may be other gifts that God gave me that for whatever reason, he pulled them away. They were not actually born, but they're still my sons and they are Crystal sons. And here's one more then, one more. If that's true, you don't need to agree with this, by the way. I think it's true. I think there's a soul and there's a life with every conception. I believe that's where life begins. Do you know that at 3 weeks... At 3 weeks, a baby has already begun, at 3 weeks after conception, a baby has begun to form all of its organs and its heart and its spinal cord. That's at 3 weeks. So if you want to say that the soul doesn't come or life doesn't come until 3 months or 6 months, that's okay. But I believe that it comes. It comes with conception. And if that's true, one more last little tooth to touch here. If that's true, we should be giving more consideration to the kind of birth control we use. Again, I believe this. We should just consider this. And if you don't agree, don't agree, but think about it. A lot of times we're using birth control because our doctor said, here, use this kind of birth control. Or because everyone else in the church uses this kind of birth control. We should give careful consideration to this so that we are not just terminating pregnancies using the birth control we're using. And I know that's a touchy subject. But sometimes we just do what we do because we do it. We don't even think about it. We don't even consider it. Everyone else in the church uses that kind of birth control. But if it's a life, and if you think of it that way, then we ought to take it seriously. It's the seed, right? My offspring are a seed that comes from me. There's something about that that is eternal, and something about that that produces fruit. That what we need to do is, I need to be able to let go of the seed. It needs to get planted. And I need to trust God. And again, like I said earlier, this is really what this is about. This is not a lesson in, you know, sex education, obviously. But it's a lesson in trusting God. Trust God. Trust God that He has your children in His hands. Trust God. You know that when Adam and Eve fell into sin, in Genesis 3, verse 15, thanks, Doug. You're making this real easy today. Thank you. In Genesis 3:15, what God says to Satan, He says, you know, your time is up, man. You led Adam and Eve to fall, but you are in for a big trouble here, Satan. And He says this, He says, your seed to Satan, there will be enmity, there will be clashing, there's going to be a huge fight. There will be enmity between your seed, Satan, and the woman's seed. He doesn't say man's seed. But the woman's seed, there will be enmity. He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about that down the road from Eve, from her seed, Jesus is going to be born. And He will crush your head and you will strike His heel. There is a promised seed, and that promised seed is Jesus Christ. You get that? There is a promised seed. That promised seed is Jesus Christ. We have all the hope. We have the hope of glory. Amen? He defeats the enemy. He's already defeated the enemy on the cross. Is anyone still with me here? Okay, thank you. I hope I didn't blow you all away with this, but you know, like, it's just Satan loses. His head is crushed. So celebrate that with me today, right? Can you clap? And yeah, his head is crushed. The promised seed, he says. He says offspring, but he's talking about the seed. The seed of the woman who is Jesus. Yeah, you're going to bruise his heel. Okay. You're gonna put him to death on the cross. Okay. But your head is going to be crushed, Satan. Your head is going to be crushed. Yeah, amen. Amen. Because Jesus Christ is the promised seed. And trust him. That's the message today. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you that you are the author of life. You know so much more than we know. We stumble through this stuff, and but you are God, and you remind us that we really can trust you. That even when it comes to our children, there's just so much that's not in our control. Some of us, we gave up our children a long time ago, or maybe we have them now and we know how true that is. We can't control them, at least not like we'd like to. I pray today that you would implant in our children the desire to be obedient, the desire to honor their mothers and fathers. We pray that we would see the life that you breathe all around us. We pray, God, that we would learn to trust you with that kind of trust and faith that Moses' mother and Mary, the mother of Jesus, had. That we're able to let go and let those seeds be planted where you want them to be planted. That ultimately our children that are our seeds, that we need to, in faith, plant them. And so today, in faith, we plant them in Jesus Christ. And that's our prayer. Thank you for being so good and so faithful. Thank you, God, that no matter where we find ourselves in this message today, that we are never in a place where we beat ourselves up or where we're condemned or where we're not forgiven. Never. The shame has been removed and paid for by Jesus Christ. Thank you for that. God, I thank you that I believe that even aborted babies, we're going to see them someday. That you got a greater plan than we can ever imagine. That your plans are way better. And that there's going to be a kind of reunion. I have no idea, but I'm excited about it. Thank you, God, that you will restore the whole family to yourself. And these are the things that we're really grateful for. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, that was tough to do. Whew. Can we have the children? Are they children back there, Crystal? Nevada? Nevada? Okay. We can pray for her right now. Okay. Is this working? I'm just going to ask, why don't you bring the children to the front? I don't know where they're coming, okay, but why don't you come over here? Tell me your name again. It's Garrett, yeah. So Nevada? Nevada. We're going to pray for his granddaughter, Nevada, who was born 5 months ago because he's asked for it. Let's pray for him. Thank you, God, for Garrett. And I thank you, Lord, that I know that as a grandfather, he loves his granddaughter. We just pray for Nevada. I pray that, Lord, you'll keep her safe. Pray that she'll be well cared for and that she'll know who you are. And I pray for Garrett. I'm thankful that he's here today. I know that Garrett struggles sometimes. I pray that he'll know that he's loved here and that you care about Garrett. Thank you, God. I pray that he will rise up to be a grandfather and a man of God in Jesus' name. He'll rise up to be a leader in his home. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that you'll keep bringing him back here because this is a place where there's a lot of people who know who Jesus is and we journey together. So I just thank you for Garrett and for Nevada, and we leave them in your good hands, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. That's good, yeah. Okay, kids, all the kids, come on up here a minute, okay? Sit here. Yeah, we're going to sit here as we conclude our service. So come and sit by me. Come and sit by me, and in a couple minutes, we're going to sing one more song. Well, you'll have to wait and see. Because you know what? If you ask me, I'll have to think hard, and I might not remember it right now.
No.
But we want to, you know, today is a special day, right?
Yeah, what, Mother's
it's Mother's Day. That's right, Mason. And you guys, what we were talking about when you were gone, is we're talking about how special you are. You are special to every one of us. You're especially special to your moms and your dads. And we just want to say thanks for that today. I am really grateful that you're part of our church and that you're part of our family. And today, before we sing the last couple songs, I just wanted to ask if maybe you guys would join me in praying for your mom and dad or your mom. Sometimes you got a mom and a dad and sometimes you just have your mom. But I want you to think about maybe just saying a couple words of prayer. Can we do that together? And the reason why we want to do that is we want to bless them. We want to, and maybe that's all you want to say today. Just say, Lord Jesus, bless my mom. And that would be plenty. That's enough. And then while we're singing the last couple songs, I want you guys to get the flowers like we've done other years, right? And give the flowers to every woman who's here, even if they're a mother or even if they're not a mother, because we're doing this whole mothering thing. Are you going to make it there? Okay. Do you want to talk?
No.
No. Okay. So we're going to bless moms today with a prayer, okay? We're going to bless our moms today with a prayer, and then we're going to give them a flower. Who wants to do that? Put your hands up. Okay, so I'm going to pray first, and then when you want the microphone, I'm going to give it to you, and you pray for your mom, okay? You can do this. Don't worry about those. Just close your eyes and just pray to Jesus. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for moms who love us. Thank you that they gave birth to us. Thank you that they teach us. Thank you that they take care of us and they protect us. And today, just pray that you will put your blessing on all of them. Who's next? You want to pray? Just pray for your mom. It's okay.
God, I thank you for my mom because she's very kind to me. And she cooks delicious meals.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And please bless my mom into your hands. Mm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You want to pray? You can pray. Pray for your mom. Just you can just say, Mom. Say, God. You want to pray? You want to pray? Don't be scared. You pray. You pray. Say, dear Jesus. It's okay. Shh. Say, dear Jesus. Say, thank you, Jesus, for my mom. Okay. Okay.
Thank you, Jesus, for my mom. I love her very much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
You say bless your mom.
Bless mom.
Okay, say it again, okay? Because let's try it one more time.
Bless your mom.
Bless my mom. Okay.
Kenzie, who's going to pray? Go ahead. Okay, let's pray more.
Dear Jesus, thank you for my mom. She always prays for me every time I'm scared. She holds me by her hands. Amen.
Amen. Okay, see? She's getting lots of prayers, this one. There we go.
In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, God, for this day. I pray that you bless my mom because she protects me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay.
Actually, no.
Okay, yeah. There you go.
I pray for my mom to have a good time on Mother's Day.
Amen. God bless her. Anyone else? You can do it. Just say, bless my mom. Anyone else? Okay, some of us are shy. That's okay. You know what? We've never done this before, so it's okay to be shy. I don't think you're supposed to do that. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay, I'm going to finally pray one more time, okay? So let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we're very blessed. Thank you that we're part of our own families, and thank you that we're part of the family of God. Thank you that we love each other, and thank you that we have parents that take care of us. And also thank you for the moms who are here who really aren't our moms, but they're taking care of us too, for their big hearts, for the way they teach us and they pray for us. We are very blessed people. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Two songs, you guys go up by the mics. And while we're doing that, can you guys do me a big favor and just take a few flowers? One flower at a time. God, as we conclude our service together.